ago, 15 years ago, just some things in my personal life and actually things in church were just not doing great. It just was a tough time. And it was, I kind of got offended. Anybody ever get offended once in your life with somebody? I kind of got angry. Anybody ever get angry once in your life? Okay. And so again, it was some things that had happened personally in my life, and then some things were going on in church that were really rough. And I got myself sort of in a dark cloud. I got myself where I was hurt, I was mad, and I was ugly. And it's sort of like this dark cloud. And I know better. But sometimes you don't know you're in the dark cloud. And I was able, this was going on for a while. And some friends of mine that were out of town came in town. So we went out to dinner. And I started that wah, wah, wah. Like, I can't believe what's going on. I can't believe these people. I don't know why. Poor me. This happened. I was pretty pathetic. And my friend, it's actually her husband, said, "Hey, Dee, I would like to say something to you." And I gave him the permission to talk into my life. And we'll talk about how you do that and when you do that. So I said, "Oh, okay, you can talk to me. Go ahead. And he said, "I don't know who you are anymore." I was like, "What? What do you mean?" He goes, "The D that I know, sure, you'll hit opposition, but you dig into the Word of God, and then you start your mouth saying what God says and giving Him praise and glory, and eventually I watch you walk through that giving glory to God. But I don't know who you are. Better yet, where are you?" And I was like, "Oh," and then it was the sucker punch here that got my attention. And he says, "You have gone off the path." And it was, guys, I want to tell you, it was like a cold bucket of water that just hit me in the face. But listen, thank goodness. Because I know, had he not spoken to me, I would have continued off the cliff. Now, eventually, somebody else might have spoken to me, but really, I was so grateful. And really, what happens is that person became a rumble strip, boom, 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 that I could feel and I could actually hear to say, "D, you're going off the path, boom, 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 get back on the path." So today's title of the message is called Outer Rumble Strips. So, okay, and we'll go do a quick review. But outer rumble strip are people, close people in your life. So taking notes, outer rumble strip. That's what we're going to talk about. And they're the special close people that God puts in your life. And better yet, you let in your life, alrighty? So the cool thing about my dear friend is it was a bucket of cold water. It got my attention so that I could get back on the path. Praise God. Open up to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is our key scripture. We read it every week. This is our launching pad. So let's read this one again. Ephesians 5:14. This is the Apostle Paul, and he just says it so well. He says, "Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Okay, so this is talking about a person that accepts Jesus Christ into their life. And that's really what happens. That's little Luke over there. Christ came in his life, and we have life and light that comes into our life. So this is talking about that, but it also can talk about believers that start falling asleep spiritually. So it can be talking about believers that are falling asleep, all righty? And, okay, let's read the next scripture. Okay, hang in there, Pastor D. Hang in there, Pastor. All right, here. Verse 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And that's what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about inner rumble strips, and really it had to do with a conscience. God has given everybody a conscience, all right? And it's to be a rumble strip in our life. If you missed it, it was good. I had fun. Verse 17, here we go. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is this. Okay, the will of the Lord is the word of God. It's the Bible. And now the whole, and we called that week, that was week number one, we called that rumble strip a wisdom rumble strip. Okay, and this Bible's chocked full of wisdom. And we dug into the book of Proverbs, which is tons of wisdom, right? And the book of Proverbs is really was written to young people before they go out into the world. But you know what? I'm still reading that book. Okay, and you know what's so cool? I'm just going to give you a little golden nugget. 31 chapters. Read one a day. Just keep your wisdom going, okay? So, but in the book of Proverbs, when it's God saying, hey, I'm creator. I created everything. By the way, I know everything. And I can tell you, if you choose to go this path, you're going to go over the cliff. But if you choose my wisdom, I'll keep you on the path. Book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, all right? If you have teens, that's just a great book to do devotions with. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So today we're talking about the outer rumble strip. And the outer rumble strip are people, close people in your life. So let's read verse 21. Verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. How many of you just love that word, submitting? All right. That word, especially in the Christian world, just is kind of a negative thing. Wives, submit, right? You know, I was like, what? Okay, but listen, do you want to know what it really means? Submitting means yielding yourself to somebody. Yielding. How about voluntarily yielding to somebody? You choose to yield to somebody. All right, so now everybody smile and say, submit is a nice word. Submit is a nice word, all right? To be willing, you should write that down. To be willing to yield to somebody, all righty? Now, interesting though, there's different types of submission and different levels of submission. But this one right here is talking about people that are closest to us and where we would yield, submit to what they say in our life, all right? Everybody with me? All righty? Now, so that makes them a rumble, boom, 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 strip. All right. When they speak like my friend that spoke words into my life, at that point, he was a rumble strip. Praise God. And I'm so glad. So our closest friends can be, should be people that we yield to what they say in our life. And I'll talk more about that because there's some things on that. All righty here. Now, I read this and I thought, oh, this just fits the message. You know, I find these things in books and I'm going, I'm going to save this. This is going to be a good one. So here it is. Here it is. This was really fascinating. Do you know the most important skill, the most critical skill if you are going to go into the wilderness? Like you get up with your buddies and you're going to go deep into the woods for the next 5 days. Do you know what the most critical, important skill is? It's not how to kill a snake and roast it over the fire. It's not what berries and mushrooms you should be eating or not be eating. It's not watching the stars just direct you. It's not how to purify water. It's not any of those. Do you know what the most critical, important skill, if you're going to go into the wilderness, you make sure you tell two or three people where you're going, how long you're going to go, you know, the exact spot. Because if you don't come home at dark, they know where you are. They are going to go after you. Right? That's what they say is the most critical skill if you're going into the mountains like that. And guys, that's the same with Christians. So here's my question. Who do you have in your life? Who do you have in your life that would know where you're at? Would know if you go off path and would come after you like my friend. All right? That is the question I'm going to keep asking. You'll say, if she asks that one more time, I'm going to have another cup of coffee. Okay? So, who has eyes on you? Who have you let have eyes on you in your life that if you're going off path, right? Do you have anybody that's close to you? Now, this is the one time I'm going to say your spouse doesn't count, all right? So, if there's not anybody in your life, aside from your spouse, that you have this close, that close relationship, guess what? I can guarantee you're going to go off the path. Pastor D, you're so speaking negative. No. We're human. Follow me around for a week. I'm human, all right? And I can go off the path, all right? You can go off the path. We can go off because we don't have that person that's going to say, whoa, all right? And we do things. I mess up, a.k.a. sin, all right? So if that is why we all need close people in our life that'll go bucket of water on you like you're going off the path, and they'll speak into your life. So here's my main thought, the big idea I want you to get more clearly than before. You probably could all quote that, right? I really want you to understand this. And some of you are doing this, but maybe you don't have an understanding why. So here, if you're taking notes, write this down. Here we go. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. A lot of shouting and amen, Pastor D. Woohoo! Think on that. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I guarantee I will know your future by the friends, the close friends that you hang out with. Okay, and by the way, it's happened in my life. I'll point the fingers at here, okay? Okay, they will determine your future, your closest friends, all right? And I'm going to take you through it. Okay, now, let me preface. We should be hanging out with people that don't know Jesus. Not 24/7, but you need to be in their life. You need to be a light in their life. You need to be an example in their life. And then if the Lord opens the time, you can speak into your life. But we should have people in our life that don't know Jesus, okay? Jesus did. He did. Go read the Gospels. All right? But, I love when I get to say, but, his closest buds were who? Peter, James, and John. That was his inner circle of guys. So yes, he had, and he tells us to be a light into the world, okay? But he had his closest buds. And guess what? We need to have these closest people, all righty, in our life if you want to grow in God, and aka be spiritual, all right? You should have these closest friends if you want to grow in God and be spiritual. And by the way, guess what they should be? Growing in God and being spiritual. That's the ones you should surround yourself with. I know, it's just a no-brainer. But we don't do it. So let me say this here again. Here's the problem with Christians, and I've done it myself. We can be extremists. You should be all saying, oh yeah, Pastor D, you should have been around. Yeah, we can be extremists as Christians, okay? We can isolate ourselves. Yep, we can isolate ourselves. And that's sort of like the polar extreme this way. We isolate ourselves. What do you mean we isolate ourselves? We only hang out with Christians. Our softball team is a Christian softball team that plays with the other Christian softball team. That's not a bad thing, guys. But we kind of can have this attitude. Ooh, Those people that aren't Christian, the world, they got cooties. I want to stay away from them. They have cooties. All right? Okay, so, but I'm telling you what. Then what happens is we have nobody in our life that is not a believer, that they need us, right? Okay, here's the other extreme. Ready? The other extreme is this. We have no Christians in our life. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. All right. And I have no Christians in my life. All my friends don't know the Lord Jesus. Okay. And I do what they do. I live like they do. You can't tell me from difference from them. So that's the extreme when you don't have. And then when you do. And I'll tell you what, we need to have both. okay? And we're going to find the middle ground. And sometimes it's tough. I have been in seasons in my life where all I had was the extreme. Everybody in my life was a Christian. I work with Christians. I go to church with Christians. I have a grow group at my house that's Christians. And one day I woke up and I thought, my golly, they all have cooties and I'm staying away, okay? And the Lord spoke to me about that. And I started reconnecting with one is a girl from college, and I will not tell you all the stories. And the other is a lady in my neighborhood just moved across the road. And I started, the phone rang and they came for me. And I was like, woo! And I'm having a wonderful time. Just being a light, looking for opportunities, okay? Now, but I want to say this again. We have to make sure that we have people in our life that know Jesus because they need you. Everybody say, they need me. Oh, man, they need me, okay? And you need to be rubbing shoulders with them. Not 24/7, but the other part is, how many of you have relatives that have not come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I got some. I got some that did, but now they're moving away from it, okay? And you know what? God doesn't want us to stay away from them. God doesn't want us to he wants us to go to those family meetings and hang out with them and be this big light. He wants us to do that. Praise God. He doesn't want us isolating. Say, I'm not isolating anymore. I'm not isolating. All right. Okay, so that's my groundwork here. But, get this, but if you want to succeed in your walk with God, grow with God, go to all the places that God has for you, guess what? You need to have some close friends, an inner circle of friends that are walking with the Lord so that they can get you on path if you go off, and you get to help them get on path. So you guys keep each other on the straight and narrow, and you grow together. It's just phenomenal. So, I want to talk about four things that really make the outer rumble strip, these close people. And if you're taking notes, write this one down. This one's good. This one's huge. This one you're like, duh, Pastor D, but ready, because sometimes we're like, we know this, but do we know this? Here we go. Number one, you must pick the right friends. All the mamas say amen. Gosh, if you've had kids, all right? It's really important you pick the right friends. To be in that inner circle, to be that speak in your life, that keep you online, okay? Pick the right friends. And what are those right friends are? What are they? They're spiritual. They're growing in God. They have a relationship. They talk about Jesus. They don't just say God, all right? They talk about a personal relationship, all righty? So those are the close friends that you want to have in your life. And they need to be this inner circle. Okay. I want to read you a study. It's from Princeton University. That's just going to kick this out of the park. Ready? Princeton University did a study, and it said, when we intentionally spend time with people that we enjoy, okay, that means you hang out with your guys or your girls, you intentionally hang out with people you enjoy, we neurologically fall into the same brain patterns, wavelengths, known as synchronization. I can't think that's how you say that. Okay, this is what happens. Alrighty? And listen, psychologists also say, we are the summation of the people we hang out with. Ready? And listen to over 5 years. Okay. So what is he saying? You become the people you hang out with. Yes, I could just drop a pin here today. Okay, maybe, okay. Now listen, that was science. Science has proven that. Science is proving the people you hang out with for 5 years and you become in sync with. Science. Now I'm going to give you some scriptures though, okay? Ready? But before I give you a scripture, how many of you married couples, this has happened to you? You've been married at least 5, 10, 15, 20, okay, up there. And you're hanging out together and something happens and one of you, let's say your husband says, oh, blah, blah, blah. And the wife says, I was just thinking the same thing. I was going to say that. Does that ever happen? Okay. And why does that happen? Because you guys have been hanging out 10, 15 years and now you're in sync. All right. Yeah. All righty. So, closest friends. The closest friends are people in your life that you let your hair down with, that you do life with, you begin to be synchronized with. Actually, you start influencing one another, and that's important to know, right? Important to know. So, Proverbs. Open up to Proverbs. Here's my scripture for this. Remember, you must pick the right friends. Proverbs 13:20. I like this scripture. It's almost like God read the Princeton study with this scripture. It's like, oh my gosh, it's right from the study. But here it goes. Walk with the wise and become wise, right? For the companion of fools suffers harms. So all he's saying is, hey, the people you hang out with, the people you rub shoulders with, you're going to be like them. You're going to be like them, all right? Now, I want to speak to people because you're all at different, your brains are all wrapped differently. And there's no one just like me, okay? But let me say this here. Some of you may have difficulty making friends here. You might be here and you have, we're talking about having close people, friends in your life. And maybe you're one of those that this is not your easy street. And I want to tell you, I really am more of an introvert. Are you kidding me, Pastor D? No. Jack, bigger than life, in your face, all the way, big personality. Now, can I get out there and talk to you in the foyer and laugh and cut up with you? But my personality, my comfort place is I'm an introvert. I'd never leave home. I cook and be fatter, okay? I'm happy. I'm happy with that. But guess what, guys? I have close friends. An introvert has close friends. And if I can make friends, an introvert type person or a person that's really, you can do it too. Say, yes, I'm going to make friends. I'm going to make friends. Okay. Now, if you were to, all of us need to have close friends, a core in our life that can help us stay on path when we're going off. Now, if somebody somewhere to say, Pastor D, I just really am not really good at making friends, and I just need some friends. You know what I tell you? Jump in a grow group. Jump into a grow group. And we're going to have signups in about a week or two. And I've hosted grow groups, I know for the last 10 years, probably twice a year. And let me tell you what I've observed in my grow groups. Alrighty. When we first start a grow group, the first day that we all come to Pastor, because you've signed up to be in Pastor D's grow group, whatever topic I'm doing, half the time I have strangers. They've never met this person or that person, all right? And maybe they're new to church, so they don't know. They don't even know me. They just their friends suckered them in to sign up, right? And I've had people come to my grow group. They don't even go to our church. That's just cool. And they come to the grow group, and they don't really know anybody. They're total strangers. Week one. Week two and three, not only we're growing in the Word, we get our Bibles out and we're hitting topics and we're growing spiritually and it's just awesome. But you know what else happens? This I see it all the time. Okay, so we finish my grow group that night in week two and three, and we always end in prayer. We pray for one another, and then I stand up. That means it's time to go. Okay, like I've been at this all day long. All right. So I stand up and they all start standing up, and then they're really slow at leaving, and they're hanging out the front door talking. Okay. And finally, I get them out the door. This is week two and three. And then I run in the dining room because that's where we usually have it. And I turn off light and I put dirty dishes in there. And this is what I've learned I had to do. I open the curtains and I look out the front door, and they're still outside. See, I used to turn the light off, and now I have to go, oh my, they're still outside talking, okay? That's pretty cool, talking by their cars after I kick them out here, okay? Week four, they come in, and they're exchanging cell phone numbers, and I overhear some of the conversations, like, hey, give me your cell phone number, let's get together and have coffee. I was like, what? And then the oddest people, I'll see them talking at church. Like, they're from two different planets, but they come to my grow group. It's week four, and I'll see them talking. And some of them are introverts. I've watched this every time. Just cracks me up, okay? Now, how does that happen? Well, they jumped into a grow group, or somebody signed them up or drug them to a grow group, whatever, and they're listening in these grow groups time, and they're really casual. We're really relaxed. Half the time we do a DVD, but then we have time where we're all chit-chatting, and this person's sharing, and I'm going, whoa, they're like me. Wow, that's pretty cool. How about that? And then I just start talking to them, all righty? So, grow groups. You don't have a friend. You don't have a close, intimate friend that's growing with God. Some of you have friends. They're not growing with God. Some of you have Christian friends that aren't growing with God. But hey, jump into a grow group. I guarantee you're going to have Christian friends. You can make friends there. And also, you're going to grow spiritually. It will change your life. Hands down, it'll change your life. Everybody say, grow groups are good. Praise the Lord. This is my golden nugget today for parents. Raised 4 kids. In a perfect world, I'd like a do-over. But in this world, thank you, Jesus. Somebody once said, you know, they were talking about different religions that have reincarnation. I thought, oh God, I'd never want to come back as a teenager, number one, and as a parent, number two. So I'm just going with this life. I don't believe in that, all right? It's just my little funny ho-ho-ho. Okay, but let me tell you about kids. Every parent, you have to have a parenting plan for your kids. And every one of your kids is different. What you work for one, sometimes you just throw it out. It's not going to work with the other one, right? Okay, so we had 4 kids, and we prayed about this, and we had our kids in the public school system, all righty? Which means you work hard. All right. We had our kids in the public school system, and we made sure we made sure they came to church. They never asked, are we going to church? The comment was, what time are we leaving? Because that was the way we did life. I still do life. I still come to church on Sunday. Okay. And we watched our kids, and listen, I have 4. And circumstances hit their life. And I will tell you, some are in a good place. Some are in a not so good place, and some are in great places. Okay, but the ones that have walked best in the Lord, I watched them make friends here at church because they were hanging out with people of like precious faith. Okay, and then I watched them, and so when they got into middle school and junior high and senior high, every time we had a youth event, my kids were there because they were making friends that were believers and were growing with God. And those kids, some of those kids reeled my kid in, and sometimes my kid reeled their friend in, keep them on straight and narrow. No names mentioned. One of my kids, and I see it now. I am a day older, a whole lot of gray hair underneath this thing here, but smarter, okay? But I watched one of my kids, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it, and you know, that's where you want to do a do-over. But I watched her shift in friends in senior high. Yes, she still came to church, but you know that close friends? She shifted to not Christian friends. And we had 2 years. I call them the dark days, the dark years. We had 2 dark years with this kid. And it taught me. I finally joined a prayer group. A ladies one. I swore I'd never join a ladies group. Listen, you got a kid in trouble, you'll join every prayer group. But I watched my kid after 2 years, the third year start to change, and she started coming back with Christian friends that were strong Christian friends. And to this day, there's 2 of them. I could pay them money. They saw her crash and burn, and they went after her. She right now is serving the Lord, doing wonderful. It's not Pastor Sherry. Okay. Okay. She was my easy kid, I'll tell you what. But she gave me some run for the money also. Okay, praise the Lord. So, you need to pick the right friends, amen? Kids, parents, help your kids. And listen, they don't always have to come to church here, but you make sure your kids have Christian friends. I stack the deck. I bring them to my house, okay? And they can have friends that aren't. But make sure the deck stacked the right way. Amen? Good. You are smarter than a 5th grader. And my kid that was in high school. Praise the Lord. Okay. Number 2, if you're taking notes. This one's been a tough one. I've kind of struggled with this. Okay. I'm just being just up there here. So number 2, you must listen to your friends. All right. You must listen to your friends. And listen, it is really easy to get defensive. Right? And really, I want my friends all to rubber stamp me. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, mm-hmm, I agree. Okay, that's what I want them to do. And I really don't want a rumble strip saying, hey, that's not good in your life, all right? We kind of like that. But again, you must listen to your friends. And of course, the friends that we want to listen to are those that love the Lord, grown with God, right? Those are the ones we want to listen to. Okay, but isn't it easy when a friend, especially your spouse, gives you a correction, says you're going off the path, rumble. Don't you ever get defensive and just shoot him? Who do you think you are? I saw what you did yesterday. Boy, you know, you're not perfect. I said this to Jack one time. I know, pitiful. What do you think I am, one of your little counselees telling me stuff? Bad. Okay. He was right. I was definitely wrong. Okay. But all he was doing is being a rumble strip in my life. And I just shoot him down. Right. Nobody has ever done that with their spouse. Right. Never. You're just a perfect married bunch here. Praise the Lord. So we can be defensive. We shouldn't be defensive. So it's really important to listen to the close people that you've built a circle with in your life. Listen to them, all right? And now, sometimes your friend, they're not God, but I have a close friends that are growing with God, and sometimes they'll call me on the carpet and say, hey, knock it off, and you need to just prayerfully consider what they said. And you know, if you really do, someone over there, man, just let me have it, and I wanted to buck it, and then I got really quiet, and I said, boy, she is right. I wasn't doing good. I was off path, all right? So prayerfully consider what they say. I'm going to give you two scriptures, though. Open up to Proverbs. We're hanging out in Proverbs today, in case you didn't notice. Proverbs 12:15. Remember, you must listen to your friends, these close friends that love the Lord, grown with God. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. That's a good one. Ready? The next one, Proverbs 18:12. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Okay? I love this thing, humility. Okay? It just means I am going to listen. I am going to hear what you have to say. Okay? And all of us need to be humble and put ourselves in a place where we have people that speak into our life. And that love you and you love them and they're growing in God. We all need to be that. You have to have them in your life. Amen. Okay, here we go. Question. Who have you allowed in your boat? Who have you allowed to speak into your life? Okay. Now, obviously it's not every Tom, Dick and Harry. And I have people, how many have had people that walk up to you and tell you, meh, 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 and you're like, y'all so sweet. I must be the world's best backslider or something like that. Well, I have, okay? Now, the reason why I'm like, is because they don't have a position. I haven't given them the position to speak into my life. And you may think you have the position, but I'll tell you how you know you have the position, okay? They're close, intimate friends that you grow together with, pray together with, those you give permission to, okay? So I need rumble strips in my life. You're like, yeah, Pastor D, we just heard all your stories. Yes, you do. You need rumble strips. You need these outer strips in your life because they're there. How about they're sent by God to help you? So you should go, yay! Praise the Lord. All righty. And listen, and it's really funny. Many times when Jack was alive, he would be the first person to be the boom, 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 boom in my life. And I'm like, I don't know, okay. And then I'd listen to my friend that would say the same thing. So yes, your spouse usually is first, but if you're not listening to them, thank God you have close, intimate friends that are grown with God. You know they're going to share because they love you and they'll get you on the path, okay? Number three, here we go. Ready? You need to ask your friends the right questions. You need to, those close people in your life, need to ask them the questions. Okay, what do I mean by that? You need to be an interviewer. It's a good skill. You can interview them, all right? So what do I mean by that? People can't. Okay, let me read the scripture. Turn over to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 25. Getting ahead of myself. Proverbs 25. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Okay. People can't read your mind. Okay. Some of you, your face tells it, but you know, I'm looking at you, I'm like, okay. They can't read your mind. So guess what? You need to go in and ask questions. Let me give you an example. How about this? Go ask questions to those people that are close in your life that are growing with God. Let's just say you've got your regular time with the Lord. We call it devotional time, your quiet time, whatever you like. And it's just been flat for like a month. You're like, okay, I have this close friend that I see they're growing with God and we've had prayer time together. And I'll go to them and say, hey, it's just, what do you do? Well, because mine's just like a dud. All right. Go ask them questions when you don't have all the answers. That's all I mean. All righty. So unless you ask them, they're probably not going to tell you, except for your spouse. They get on you right away. All right. Let me give you an example. After we had Sherry, the golden child. Yeah, right. After we had Sherry and then a couple years later, I'm pregnant with Jesse. In that time span, I realized I don't know a clue about raising kids. Because I was basing it on my experience. So I was reading books. I read James Dobson's book, the Strong-Willed Child. And just I was reading books, okay? And we have a bookstore back there, guys. You name the topic, walk in that you're having a difficulty and you need to get better understanding. Walk in there and ask our ladies. Guys, you can be there too. But ask the ladies behind the desk and say, hey, you got any books on this subject? So I've been reading books. But listen, sometimes you need a person that's been there and done it. A wise person. So we're going to this church. And I saw this lady. She had three little kids, 6, 4, and 2. And I think I was pregnant with Jesse. And I watched her kids. She say, no, don't do that. And her kids did not do a body slam tampering on the floor. You know, they weren't doing temper tantrums. And she'd say, oh, this one, to this day, I can see it. She says, okay, we're going to leave in just a moment. Mommy's talking to somebody. Stand against the wall. Three little kids. Just standing there waiting for mom. I'm thinking, what are these, magical kids? Right? How many of you have kids? No, they're not magical. It takes training and a whole lot of work and prayer, okay? But I'm watching this lady. I'm watching how she speaks to her kids. She's not the mean, yelling at her kids and cussing. I've been at Walmart where they cuss at their kids. Sad. Okay. First off, it's 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night. I don't go there anymore. I remembered that. But they're tired and they're misbehaving. Okay. And I listen to people just cuss their kids out. Bad, bad, bad. She's not doing any of that. She just talks. She always talked in the same. Mm-hmm. So I learned screaming's not good. I was just watching her. So I was watching her and I finally said, hey, how do you do this? I had to ask. Later on, we became good friends. And number one, I learned, she taught, and I'm a Jersey girl. I didn't know you address people as, yes, Miss Selena, yes, Mr. Benny. I watched her kids talk that day. I was like, send your kids down south. Half your job's done for you. I'm serious. Teach your kids that, hey, Bob. That's not teaching. Okay, sorry. Stand back. Okay. So I watched this lady and I machine gun. How do I do this? I was having difficulty with this and that. And she'd say, well, I do it this way. Why? Because this is what happens. I'm like, woo! We picked her brain. We picked her brain. And then I became friends. I said, you and me, we're going to be friends. Very selfish. You're better than I am. I'm just going to follow you around. And really, we became friends. I learned so much. Okay. But you have to come to a place where you decide, I need to ask somebody a question or a lot of questions or a whole year of questions because I don't know, all right? It's kind of humbling to do that, all righty? So you have to come to a place where you do that. And It's just awesome. It was awesome. I remember when we first started pastoring, actually I was popping out babies every 2 years, so I really just showed up every Sunday. But Jack and I were green. You know what that means? We knew nothing. We're starting this church, and God sent this older gentleman who pastored on the other end of town. He'd been pastoring already for 25 years, and Jack would call him up all the time. How do we do? I remember he had his first funeral. I was like, I have a mini book on this, but it doesn't give me enough information. So he called Pastor Dwayne Campbell, First Assembly of Church, Assembly of God. Oh, mighty man of God. Okay, he would call him up. And I almost think he was annoying. Jack would call him up like once a week, twice a week, sometimes that first couple of years. How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? Okay, but listen, you got to come to a place where you don't know and you can ask somebody who knows more than you do. All righty? Okay, I think I said enough. Praise the Lord. So remember, show me your friends, I'll show you your future, right? You get it? All right, here's the last one, we'll wrap up. Last one. You must become a friend. Duh, Pastor D. No, no, no. You must become a friend. Because listen, people need you. Look at that person next to you and say, people need you. So you must become a friend. Now, I realize some of you have friends, great friends. They're growing in God. You got this inner circle going. You're really cool. You know, you're like, I don't need any more friends. How about, I got young guns around here that need you in their life. I got people around here that need you in their life. Because maybe they're just newbies. You know what a newbie is? They're babies in Jesus. They just found out there's a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I remember doing that because I had not grown up in a church that gave Bibles out. I remember going, there's a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How about that? Okay? They're new believers. All right? And how about you're more mature, more spiritual? You've been walking the walk longer. How about they need you? So become a friend. Here's one. Just shoot you out of the water. How about you just go to a grow group? So you could become a friend to somebody. And you know, they call that the mentoring word. Maybe you call them once a week and help them grow. How about that? All right. So let me give you a scripture. Last scripture, Galatians. Galatians 6:1. Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, it means that. If a Christian is overcome by sin, messes up, right? You who are godly or spiritual, mature. You who are godly should gently and humbly help them back onto the right path. You know what I hear there? Boom, 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 boom. You become a rumble strip for somebody. That's all it's saying, right? Go help them gently. Boom, 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 boom. You know, help them get back on the path. That's an outer rumble strip, all righty? Okay, let's read the rest part. Remembering that next time it might be one of you, so let's ditch that one and just say, next time it might be you, right? Who is in the wrong? Okay. When I read that the first time, I'm like, whew, I love it. Takes all the stress off my life. People mess up. I mess up, okay? I'm not the only one. Second thing, it's saying that I want to help someone, but if I mess up, somebody else is going to be a rumble strip and help me get on the path. So God's saying, hey, with the right attitude, go to that person, help them get back on path. And maybe you might mess up and you'll need somebody to come into your life and speak into your life and help you get on path. So all it's saying, isn't that wonderful? How many of you have had rumble strips in your life? Man, praise God. All righty. So, question again. Who do you have in your life? Who do you have in your life? That person, a person that's growing in God, spiritually growing with God, all right, the inner circle, that would actually know. See, some of you think you have those people, but I'll tell you how you know if you have those people or you don't. They'll actually know. They'll know if I'm on the path, all right? So, who do you have in your life that actually would know it, all righty? And are you, flip side, are you close to somebody? So, you know, sometimes, let me tell you maturity, mature Christian, baby Christian. Let's start with baby. I need friends. Who's going to be my friend? Mature Christian, I will become friend. It's not about feed me, feed me, feed me. You get to a mature. Oh, I'm so mature. Okay, who are you pouring into? Who do you become a rumble strip? Okay, a close friendship. So, praise the Lord. So, who do you have? All right, now listen, your spouse is usually the first one, but sometimes you're not listening to them, so you need people in your life, close people, a close circuit of people that just will take notice when you're, and will speak life and help you out gently and humbly. Amen. Gently. Okay. All righty. Praise God. Let's close. Let me pray here. I'm really excited because I can see that God's going to do some things in our life that's really going to change the way we live our life, and I'll help other people. Amen? So just bow your heads, close your eyes. You don't have to run out yet here. I just want to say if you're a person here that you want some friends in your life, I'm just going to pray for you right now. If you want friends in your life, and you just be so honest. Actually, one of my dear rumble strip friends passed away this year. And I said, God, I need another one of those in my life. So Father, those people that are, maybe they're the introvert. Maybe they've just struggled. Maybe they tried and they struck out. But they're saying, God, I want friends in my life. Father, I thank you. You hear their cry. You hear. And I thank you, Lord, that you give them direction. And then you bring people into their life that would be a close friend for them, Father, and that they could be a close friend to them. I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for sending friends. I thank you. Praise God. And if you're here today and all your friends are not Christians, I just want to pray that the Lord would just bring those friends. You be on the lookout. I always say, Lord, send friends in my life and be on the lookout, people, and jump into a grow group. Man, you can meet some people that want to grow in God. Okay. Lord, you help them and help them in the transition, because we just don't ditch everybody because you got the cooties, so I'm not going to hang with you. But Father, you give them the wisdom to bring new friends in that love you, Father, but still, how do they keep friends that those don't? How do they can be a light? I thank you that you will do that, Lord Jesus. And Father, for all of those that, man, they got it. They can check off the list and say, man, I'm just doing it really good. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes to see, who can I be a friend to? Who can I uplift and encourage and rub shoulders with? And they could even rub shoulders in my life. So I thank you, Lord, that you will make this real in our lives, not only today as we just go about this week and next week, that we sit down and go ask that big million-dollar question, who do I have in my life? Who's the inner core, the Peter, James, and John? Who would notice when my life, because I mess up, it's just kind of going off course. Father, who are they? I thank you that you bring that to their attention, everybody's attention, myself too, and Jesus' name. Just get really quiet. This is your time just to talk to the Lord about this, about the word, about picking a good friend, the right friend, being a listener to them when they speak, and becoming a friend. Just you have your dialogue with the Lord. Praise God. Just chit-chat with him. Praise the Lord. And Father, I have a toss a question here out to everybody. What have you done with Jesus? God said he'll be a friend. What have you done with him? And really what I'm asking is, do you know your eternity? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Do you know your forever? And I'll tell you, I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking if you've been baby baptized and sprinkled or a big person. I'm not asking if you grew up in church. Okay, what I'm asking is, what have you done with Jesus? And I simply will ask you, do you remember a day and a time where you prayed and said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Savior. And Jesus, I need a Savior. I need you. Can you remember a time that you said that? And if you can't, can I tell you, Jesus is knocking at your door. He knocks at the door, and all you have to say is, "Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I'm desperate." You don't even wait till you're desperate. Lord Jesus, I need you. So what have you done with Jesus? Have you called on his name? And he said whoever would call in the name of Jesus, he would save. That means he'd give you eternal life, and heaven's your final destination. You become a part of this incredible family of God. And he hears your cry, and he'll stand with you. He'll never abandon you. So I just want to ask, with everybody's eyes closed, is there anybody here today that really it's the Holy Spirit working on your heart, and you would say, "Pastor D, I haven't done this, but today, would you just pray for me? I'm ready," like little Luke here, "I'm ready to ask Jesus to come into my life, to be Lord and Savior of my life." Is there anybody here? Nobody's looking around, just eyes closed. Is there anybody here? Because we'll pray with you. Okay, I'm not going to make you come up front here. Is there anybody here who would say, "I've not done that. I don't know about my eternity. I don't know. And I want to know." Is there anybody? Okay. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. You can look at me then. So that means you're all a child of God. You're a friend of God. You're part of the family of God. You're more than conquerors. That means all of you have your names written in heaven. That means all of you are holy and blameless and can go boldly into the throne of grace. Y'all look pretty good, huh? All right, let's stand up. Praise God. Father, I thank you that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed going in, and Father, we are blessed going out into our lives, into the world, into the neighbors you've called us in. And I thank you, Father, that we are distributors of light and love and Jesus. Amen. All right? Go make friends. If you need prayer, I'd love to pray with you up front here. Praise the Lord. Have a super Sunday.